Welcome to Queener Lax, Lax and Poetic. I'm your host, Bryce Queener. We're going to talk all things lax on this show with some of the greatest personalities in the sport. Be sure to check out our sponsor, QueenerLax.com, for swag, camps, and clinics. Got questions? Want to hear something? Get in our DMs, at Queener Lax. Hey, thanks for listening, and remember, ABC, always be cradling.
Okay, here we go. PLL season three, season two of doing this show. First time we've used Zoom in a while. Pretty excited about that. Zoom's just an easier way to record this and pop it on all your things online. Not the bubble. So it's going to be harder to track all the games, but PLL just does such a great job on their Twitter and Instagram. Even when I got to bump around from events, I'm currently on the road in Texas. I'm a Division I assistant coach, women's lax, University of Denver. So last year was neat to, I've been saying for a while, like I really wanted to watch these games more. A lot of guys I coached at the Hill Academy are in the league. I'm down to two former teammates, Brody Merrill and Donnie Moss. I think those are the last two I played with. They're still playing, which is kind of sad, but fun to watch, real fun to watch. Love the styles. Let's start right with the Redwoods Cannons game. I think the difference there, if you follow me on Twitter, Coach Q88, is the experience. And pro lacrosse is super limited practice time, super limited coaching. Chemistry is being made on the field, which to me has always been a little more impressive with how good these teams are able to make it look. And honestly, I think, especially with a lot of the coaches, I don't want to call coaches, but a lot of these coaches were pushed out of college and they coached in college during the Stallball era. So it's really good that they don't get too much of a pulse on what's going on. Like really the players got to figure it out and go. And to me, I think the Redwoods having played together a lot, won out. I do really like this Cannons roster. I'm going to talk about it with their Water Dogs game. They look really good. The Redwoods adding, you know, my favorite attackman not named Lyle Thompson is probably Ryan Lee at this point. Just his ability to just score and not have the ball and dive around the crease and manipulate the crease like other people can't. I coached him at the Hill Academy, RIT Tiger. And then Rob Pinnell, adding Rob Pinnell, and everybody's like, why is Rob Pinnell playing so much better? I got a simple answer for it. He's not using a warp. If you've tried to use a warp, like I've watched him play with a warp and just been astonished that he can do it. I mean, that's how good he is. It is really difficult. It is very challenging to play with a warp. It does not have the same hold as all the other sticks do. So my hat's off to him for what he's been able to do with the warp. But seeing him not in a warp, and I could be way off on this, but to me it looked like he had a real stick again. Cannon's legit. I like this roster. I just think the Redwoods with Sergio and Miles and that midfield, you know, they're tough to stop. With Whip's Chaos game, Nardella, upstate boy, again, just absolutely crushed it. Rambo and Zed, kind of like I just said, like Miles and Perkovich on the Redwoods. Rambo and Zed up front. I mean, those guys are just so big. How do you beat the Whips? I really don't know if you can. I think you gotta hope to beat themselves. I really think with the Whips, it's gonna come down to injuries through the season. If the long season, teams get better. But they started right where they left off. And it, to me, they're starting to really become one of my favorite pro lacrosse teams I've watched. They get after you defensively. They got a great goalie. And I love their style on offense. I love watching Rambo play. I love watching Zed play. When they get some more guys in the mix there, they're going to keep rolling. Archers versus Atlas. One of those games that, to me, and now we can talk about the MLL again, because they merged, you know, they ate them. The PLL ate them was all what I like to call it. But at least it's allowed to be talked about now. It looked like the Hammerheads. That's where I think what I mentioned earlier, where these teams, they just don't know each other yet and they're figuring it out. That's what the Atlas did. The Atlas, and I give them credit for blowing it up. Rubior, to me, is one of the least experienced coaches. Obviously, on paper, he's one of the least experienced of his whole group. I think he coaches high school in Maryland, second year coaching pro. He did play pro forever. And kind of how I mentioned earlier that some of these guys are college coaches that were in the stall ball area. So I root for Rubior. I just know he's such a competitor, and he was a heck of a player. So I think his style will work in the league. I think not having Jeff Teat's going to really hurt. I think they got to figure that out. Free Teat. I don't know how this is working with Canadians. Like Brody's playing, Byrne was playing. I've heard different stories. Like some guys can't quarantine, some guys don't have to quarantine. Not really sure. I know that if you don't have some of your guys, you need them. This Archers offense is loaded. I was happy to see Connor Fields touch the score sheet. And my only question with the Archers is last year early, they looked unstoppable. And are they built for those tougher games late? I don't know. I mean, they're really fun to watch. They got a great style. So keep an eye on the Archers and if they can keep rolling. Archers Water Dogs taking a lot of heat on Twitter, taking a lot of heat online. I just think they're both rebuilding. You just got to give them time. You just got to give them some time. But the Water Dogs scare me a little bit because who's your guy on offense? I felt like they did this last year too. Doesn't really work in pro lacrosse. Like you need some guys. Like that's why it's pro lacrosse. Like I want to know who's getting the ball on your stick. I'm having a hard time even like who is there. They don't have a guy in the top 15 scoring, top 20. I went down to top 25 and there's not a Water Dog. Now that's skewed because some teams played two games and some teams played one. So let's get on there. I'm on the website here. As good as the social media is, I know some of the older people. Yeah. So their top scorer right now is Zach Currier. And obviously a lot of us think Zach's one of the best players in the game, but he's a two-way midi. they need more punch on the offense. You know, I don't know where it's going to come from. Let's go to the roster here. Drew Snyder, man, he's only 27. Feels like he's been playing forever. Ben Reeves, Ryan, I don't know. Kiernan McArdle, I've loved hate with Kiernan McArdle over the years, watching him play. Sowers is supposed to be their guy. And we're going to talk about him later. I don't know. I feel like they must have an interesting thing to me in pro lacrosse is coaches fall in love with their guys. And like I mentioned earlier, Rubio blew it up. It looks to me like the Water Dogs fell in love with their guys too much as an expansion team. I don't know. And we're going to get to the waiver wire. I don't have a lot of faith that this offense is going to start magically popping off. To me, this, as I read it, it looks like a lot of nice players. Let's get to their midfield. Epp, Snyder, I don't know. Ethan Walker, I don't think he played. Mikey Schlosser, I like Schlosser. Maggie, I don't know. I don't know about this team, but we'll see. And like I said earlier, the Hammerheads first game reminded me a lot of these guys' first games because the Hammerheads, I mean, they look like the worst pro lacrosse team you've ever seen. And I said the same thing about their offense. I'm like, who's going to score other than Bradley Voigt? I knew he can score. I don't know why he's not in this league. But then they caught fire and they got better. So definitely a lot of only up to go here for some teams. Let's get to some other, the Cannons Water Dog game. Sauer's debut. Cannons look really good. Like the fact that they got Lyle and Q, the old Bayhawks running mates, right? Q was on the Bayhawks. Q is really good. University of Tampa. He just moves well off ball. He gets into the crease and then pops out. It seemed like they weren't, I don't want to say weren't ready for it, but just watch him score that goal. Everybody's blowing me up about Goodrich saying he's the best demon in the league, so we got to watch that more. I like the Cannons. I like the Cannons. I like the way they're constructed. Brody Merrill looked like a beast out there. I don't know how you say Morocco or the Georgetown goalie was good. Their uniforms are sweet. Rabel's obviously, you know, motivated. I run some camps around the country and I tell people all the time, like, I'm going to work a camp versus run the camp. If I go work someone else's camp, it's great. You show up, you're like, this is awesome. You get to coach the kids, you get to have a fun time. Then you leave, you run the camp. Hey, you got to get there early. You're emailing, you're calling, you're answering questions. You got to make sure liability, your insurance is in place. Like you're watching every little thing that you don't have to worry about as much. The reason I bring that up is the bubble last year, trying to pull off the bubble, being Paul Rabel, it's gotta be, it's so hard. So he's going to be, you know, he heard all the haters and it's fun to take shots at him. You know, if you're going to own the league, you're going to do as much as Paul and then puts his brother in charge to do, you got to let some of us take some shots at you. He unfollowed me on Twitter for chirping his shorts jersey thing that tucked in, you know, sorry. Let's move on. Crum versus Woods. Woods are really good. Like we said at the top, that's a complete team. They believe in each other. They believe in what they're doing. They got a formula. They got a lot of guys. Jones and Pert, like we said, they're really good. And then the other guys all over media. Jules Hennenberg was good too. Crum, you know, to me, they're a very good defensive team. Mike Manley's an animal. A lot of the guys on their back end are really good. Galloway's good. I just haven't, and I've watched them now for all 3 years. I've watched the Crum more than anybody else because Brett was on the Crum the first 2 years, and I don't like their offense. I like a lot of the guys. Like, I love Jordan McIntosh, and he was really good on the weekend. And talk about shooting from different angles and being deceptive. I love Jordan McIntosh, but I don't like the fit of Gutterding and Wolf, and there's just, like, bunch of little guys that run around, and I just haven't liked their offense. They don't have the it factor to me, but they came on strong. So I think Sudan really knows how to coach pro. But one thing that kills me about Sudo is he's such a Galloway super fan, and I get it. And I'm not trying to say I don't think Gallery's good. He's obviously good. But, like, you got a guy on your bench that made 22 saves in, like, every program he's – pro game he's almost played in. Scannone's the better goalie. And I just – I don't think we're going to see Scannone much this season unless Galloway gets absolutely shelled. I mean, there was years with the Rattlers where they didn't even put a real backup goalie on the team. They just dressed – I don't want to use his name, but they just dressed a guy who was local. So I just – I don't think that's – to me – how pro lacrosse should work. I think you should, it should battle. You should play the best guy. You shouldn't just play somebody that you kind of, but I mean, that's his right. He's the coach. That's my opinion on that. Mike Manley's from Binion. Did you see that hit that he made? His dad's a football coach. His brothers were, well, Mike was the best football player. Chris Manley was really good player. Fairfield guy. I think he played for Andy Copeland. No, Copeland, the Water Dogs coach. Might not have. Who's going to beat the Whips? My closing thoughts. I don't know. I just don't, unless one of these teams catches fire or Teat joins. I don't see that. Sauer's injury came out this morning on Twitter that he had to get taken to the hospital for a head hit. I'm not sure what the hit was. I'm sure maybe it will come out later. The PLL's done a good job in the past. Like, but they only suspended Epple last year, one game for hitting a guy and had like three straight times. It was gross. Then Epple spouted off on Twitter this year about Columbus Day. I don't know why the league is going to be really, I don't know how to say this properly, pro-social justice things. And I would like to see Epple get suspended for his tweets, honestly. I don't think in a league that that has Native Americans, and somebody pointed out on Twitter that Lyle took him first chance he got and scored. So I want to know what's going to happen when Epple hits a guy in the head again. Like, are we going to look at repeat offenders? Like, what's the next step to this? Because it is – pro lacrosse is violent. The PLL – has adopted a little bit of a WWE mindset. I'm not sure if fighting's legal. I know they promote it more. So I think with that, you're going to have some more conflict. So what are the steps we're going to put in place? I want to see if repeat offenders get doubled down, because Apple to me is going to take someone's head off again. So what are we going to do at that point? So I do think they have done a good job with headshots, because the old league just didn't even bother. And for a long time, the NLL didn't either. So, but the other thing I want to see controlled more is the long pull slash. A shorty will get called for the slash like a good amount of time. And to me, the short stick slash doesn't hurt. A long pull slash can break hands. It's kind of why some attackmen don't make it as long. The late, great Dave Huntley used to say that to play pro lacrosse attack, you had to be huge, because you're just going to take such a beating. I love physicality. I love clean hits. I don't love long pull slashes. I don't want to see what we're going to do with pre-defenders like Apple. Reports coming out that, I mean, they suspended guys for the fight. It's Gaudette and Austin Stotts. And I think they were box teammates growing up. I wanted to fact check that. I don't know. Somebody called me last night and said a finger might have been bitten off. I'm not trying to report things that aren't true, but that's scary. My thoughts on that kind of goes with the repeat offenders, and you cannot encourage these guys to get after it as much as they are and put them in the same hotel. You're just asking for it. I was shocked they didn't kill each other in the bubble. I mean, these guys are really like they're putting the cameras in their face and they're putting them yelling at each other online. So you're kind of like goading them into this. I think the league needs to be careful on that. Last thought, waiver wire. How's it going to work? In the MLL, teams were in host cities. So you had Rochester, you had Boston, you had Denver. So if guys were local, right, like Rochester, New York's got a ton of local guys, they come put them on the practice squad. BJ O'Hara used to just kind of mix them all in and it was kind of a tryout each week, and you could have practices. I know Long Island practiced more. I know Chesapeake, the Bayhawks practiced more. So I'm just worried for guys that aren't in the league. And I know when the PLL ate the MLL, they just took a lot of teams out. So how's that going to work? How do we get other guys in? Because it's just these clearly aren't always the best lineups. I think when you pick these teams, you pick a lot on college accolades, familiarity with guys. And then when you get into games, I can't tell you how many years that teams went into the season thinking that guys could just play D-Medi. And then as soon as they got into the season, they're like, these guys can't play D-Medi. This is very challenging. To that point, Chris Hogan is going to try to play D-Medi in the MLL. I would have thought he'd be better off trying to play O-Midi, just from the standpoint of that's more what he did as a wide receiver, trying to beat guys. D-Midi's the complete opposite. Now he's playing kind of D-back. I hope he can do it. I've always been a big Chris Hogan guy, but it's going to be challenging. So I really am interested in how the waiver wire is going to work, because teams that don't start well, you look at the Dallas Rattlers a couple of years ago, they started, I think, 0-5, and they picked up Scannone and Bradley Voigt off the waiver wire, and they won like 7, 8, 9 straight games that summer. So they were real good. So just curious how that's going to work. Glad it's back. The production was amazing yet again. These players are amazing. So it's fun to watch. Hope you enjoy the thoughts. Follow me on all the social medias. We'll try to do previews and update shows as we can this summer. Lax on, ABC, always be great. See you.